You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
On today's show, Christina Long will have a Q&A with Arkansas gymnastics coach Jordan Weber at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. First, a word from our sponsors.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
So let's start a little bit more with last season. You had a couple of super exciting wins. I know you beat a couple of top four opponents. And gymnastics, I covered gymnastics for the newspaper and for our website for the first time last season. Had watched it for a long time, but learned. I thought I had a working knowledge, and then I realized how much more there is to know. Mm-hmm. And one thing about gymnastics that's different from so many other sports, especially other college sports, is that the head-to-head is not the most important part. It's about your score. But it's still really exciting to beat a program like LSU or like Florida. So what did wins like that do for your program, just overall over the course of the season and just when you're trying to raise the profile of your program every year?
Yeah. So last year we had LSU come to town, and similarly a couple weeks later we had Florida come to town, and they were both at the time ranked top two in the country, and we beat both of them. And it really came down to the last event, which, like you said, I mean, a lot of times in our sport, how we qualify to the postseason is based on a formula of our scores. So whether you win or lose the meet doesn't impact your ranking. Your score impacts your ranking. But of course, especially in this conference, winning feels good, and we like to win. And so I think Bud Walton Arena is quickly and surely becoming a really difficult place for people to come and compete in the best way possible for us. Because, like I talked about, the fan base is really showing up, and it's an intense environment that our athletes are really thriving off of. And so getting that boost of confidence, beating LSU and beating Florida in the middle of the season, I think really helped, especially with a few people down that, you know, those were scores that were difficult to replace, the ones that were out with injury. So that was a good confidence boost for our team, and it always feels nice to win, especially against LSU, since that's the theme of the week, right?
I was wanting to ask you, too, last season you spoke out after the NCAA denied your appeal to add a meet late in the season. This was another thing I learned. So not every SEC program has a gymnastics team. And so not every SEC gymnastics program makes the conference meet. And there's only one that gets left out under the previous format. And Arkansas was the last team out, but you were not far from, the margin was so close. And so you were ending up having a team get left out of its conference meet that was going to make the NCAA tournament, I guess. And so it was a controversial thing. The SEC had adopted that policy of leaving one team out whenever they added Texas added Oklahoma, I mean. And you tried to add a meet, the NCAA wouldn't let you, and you spoke out about that. The SEC has now changed that format. So now all of those teams are going to get in. So when did you kind of figure that out? How were you guys involved at all in trying to get them to change that? And then what is it like now that, you know, the league is going to, everybody in the league is going to benefit from that?
Well, for a little context, there were, the decision was made by the conference to, historically, we had eight gymnastics teams in the conference, which there were two meets in the conference championship for four teams each. When we added Oklahoma, now there's suddenly this awkward nine teams. Because there are four events in gymnastics, vault, bars, beam, floor. So it made sense that there were eight teams, one team on each event. So when they invited Oklahoma into the conference, there were some coaches that believed that all nine teams should still participate in the conference championship. There were some coaches that believed that the ninth team should not be invited and just the top eight should go. But when you look at where we were a week before the conference championship, it was us, Alabama, and Auburn were all right there in the top 13 to 15 in the country. And so we were ranked 15th in the country and didn't make our conference championship, which shows the strength of our conference in gymnastics, which is incredible. I personally didn't agree with the decision to not invite the ninth team, but when it happened, you know, we said, hey, we're going to go to Oregon State because Oregon State is a gymnastics program that's not affiliated, wasn't affiliated with a conference at the time. So they were going to have their own meet. that was not that was just a regular meet, not a conference championship. And so I called Oregon State and said, we'd love to join your meet. And, you know, Hunter Yurchek was incredibly supportive and said, we'll get your team there less than a week in advance to compete. And the NCAA ended up coming back and saying, no, you're not allowed to add a meet this late in the game, and didn't allow us, which I had some strong feelings about. I just felt like if our team has the opportunity and our athletic department was willing to give us the resources to go out there and have an opportunity to improve our national qualifying score when every other team in the country had the opportunity to do that.
Because you were the only program that was not competing that weekend, because all the other conference meets, everyone gets invited.
Correct. Yeah. And so that really fired up our team. They were pissed. And, you know, I really did my best as a head coach to really channel that fire and say, how can we direct this in a way that is going to fuel us for the postseason? Because, again, we were top 15 in the country at that time, and we were about to go to regionals and had a really good opportunity to compete nationally. So I'm really proud of the way the team responded to that. You know, it was very much like, this sucks and this is not fair, but what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with this thing that we can't change? I think also what a wonderful life lesson when you don't like the rules or you think they're not fair, you just don't get what you want in life. What are you going to do about it? And so we really took that as an opportunity to point the team in the right direction and fuel us for the postseason.
I want to talk about some of your individual gymnasts. You mentioned Frankie Price earlier. She had that injury very, very late there. And she's been a fan favorite. Frankie Price, if you've never watched much gymnastics, you do not have to know anything about what she is doing when you watch her floor routine to think that it is so fun. She's the one that always uses Snoop Dogg in her music. It's super, super fun to watch, and she's just become a fan favorite over the course of her career. So it was so hard to see her go down with that injury, and then there was questions about, you know, she had had a devastating injury earlier in her career. Was she going to be able to come back? So it's been great to see that she's been working her way back. So how has that recovery process been for her? And, you know, are you expecting her to be able to compete this year?
Yeah. It's been challenging for her. I mean, Achilles tear is a very scary injury because in gymnastics, a lot of the time, you don't see it coming. You can do one tumbling pass and suddenly you can tear your Achilles with zero Achilles pain leading up to that. And that was the case for Frankie. So there's not a lot you can do to prevent it sometimes. It's just naturally a part of our sport. It was really unfortunate and sad to see her go down because Frankie is such a strong leader for our program in so many ways. But she came to us about a week later when we got back from regionals and said, you know, I'd love to have my fifth year, and because she was out her freshman year with a knee injury. And if I know anything about Frankie and seeing her the way she came back from her knee injury her freshman year, she's going to get back from this injury, and she will be out there competing again, if not better than she was before. It's just been a long, long road for her. She probably won't be out in the first meet in January, but I expect her at least by February and hopefully at her best for the postseason. So I'm excited about that.
Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
We'll tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Let's get you back now to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club and more of Christina Long's Q&A with Jordan Weber.
Something else that's going to be really exciting for her this year is her sister has transferred in to join the team, Morgan Price. She transferred in from Fisk, which it's a super cool story with Fisk. They were the first HBCU gymnastics program, and Morgan was part of that, and now she's here. What does she bring to the team?
Yeah. Morgan brings a lot, and for those that don't know, Morgan was actually, we recruited her, and she actually signed with Arkansas.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, she signed with Arkansas back in whatever year, 2022 or something, then Fisk announced they were starting their gymnastics program, which it's not an NCAA program. It's it's an NAIA school. And so even though she was signed with us, she called me, unfortunately, and said, hey, I have the opportunity to go to Fisk and be a part of the very first ever HBCU to have a gymnastics program. And while I was really devastated, you know, looking back, I think it was really amazing that she had the opportunity to go pave the way for many, many Black athletes in gymnastics. So she did. She had her career at Fisk for the first 3 years, was a six-time national champion in her league. And then I got a text from her this summer out of the blue, and she just said, you know, hey, Coach Weber, I would love to call you and talk about any potential roster spots you have at Arkansas for my final year of gymnastics. So I was a little bit surprised, but within one phone call, Morgan was coming back to Arkansas, which is really cool. And Morgan is really strong in what we call the all-around, meaning she has the ability to compete at a super high level on all of the four events. And that's not common in college gymnastics. Each team might have 2 to 4 all-arounders that have the ability to compete on all four events. So having Morgan come in as an all-arounder, adding to what Jocelyn already brings, and then I talked about Allison, our freshman, who's a strong all-arounder. That's 3 incredible all-arounders that we have added to our roster this year. That's really going to strengthen our program, and it's going to allow us to maximize our score potential for sure.
You mentioned Jocelyn. She's obviously the resident elite, and it's been exciting to have her, you know, part of the program. And I remember talking to you last year about how the adjustment from elite to college was going to go, because another quirky thing about gymnastics is the Olympics is scored totally different. All that level is scored totally differently than it is in college. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was explained to me as at the elite level, there is more of an emphasis on difficulty, whereas in college, it is about like perfection. You are trying to achieve, no matter what the difficulty is, you're trying to do everything at the perfect level. So how did, you know, obviously she had some great performances last year, came so close to some perfect tens, but how did that adjustment go, and how much further do you feel like she can go now in this second year?
Yeah, you explained that perfectly, by the
way.
Yeah, it's really challenging for anyone to kind of juggle both worlds, the elite world and the college world, because the code of points is completely different. The focus and the emphasis on difficulty versus execution is completely different, and it takes a really special person, especially a college student, that's willing to sacrifice a lot of the normal college experiences that maybe the rest of our team will be having, to do things like two-a-day practices, to give up their summer that they normally get to sort of take a step back and really heal and focus on you know, learning new skills, to then go right back into routine mode and compete during the summer, because the elite season is in the summer and the college season is in the winter. So Jocelyn has that determination and that will to juggle both worlds, which is the first step. But she's doing really well. I think you can see her kind of mentally flip-flopping a little bit. Like, as soon as she got back from Indonesia, she dialed right back into the team mode and the college mode, which is, it's not easy to do. Not to mention, she's an exercise science major, and she got back from 2.5 weeks over in Indonesia, and she has straight A's, which I think is so impressive. It just adds to just how impressive of a human being she is, to be able to do what she's doing and put our program on the map in the way she is. So I'm really excited about year 2 for her in college.
And your husband and assistant coach, Chris Brooks, was with her for all that elite competition, right? So what was that like for him, and for, you know, you obviously watching and supporting and also kind of being involved with that too?
Yeah, it was crazy, especially having a baby at home. Yeah, him being home for 2.5 weeks was hard. But, you know, Chris is such an incredible technical coach, and you know, the level of difficulty that Jocelyn is performing takes a really strong technician, and so he was the perfect fit to go with her. It was a 30-plus hour travel day to get to Indonesia. It was like, go from here to Chicago, Chicago to Tokyo, Tokyo to Singapore, Singapore to Indonesia. It was insane. You can imagine the jet lag with a 12-hour time change as well. So what an adventure that they got to go on. And again, same thing as Jocelyn, like to jump right back in and dial back in with our college program. Lucky for me, I have an incredibly amazing staff that can fill those roles. I have Kyla Ross, who was my Olympic teammate, who's my assistant coach now. She can spot, so she was able to step in for Chris on bars and do a lot of the spotting on certain skills that we needed a spotter for. So it was like we covered those gaps immediately and so well, and I'm really proud that as a staff and a program, we're able to just do all these different things, both succeed in the college world, have Jocelyn doing what she's doing, have Chris be able to go with her. It's pretty impressive.
You have a local girl on your team in Lauren Williams. She's from Rogers, which is pretty rare for a local gymnast to be at this level. So she was injured last season, obviously, but she had a really great year for you before that. How good is it to see her back, and what are you expecting from her now?
Oh, it's awesome. Lauren, for those that remember a couple of years ago, she is really, really strong on vault and floor. She has potential to score 9.95 for us, which is closest you can get pretty much to a 10. It's within a half tenth deduction of a 10. She has potential to score 9.95 consistently, and she is pushing that 10.0, has gotten 9.975 a couple times on floor. So having her back obviously helps us in a huge way there, score-wise, but just having her spirit back and having her mentally back in the game has helped a lot. She's such a strong leader for our program. I'm excited. We also have another local kid who's a freshman. Her name is Riley Jandorf. She's from Bentonville. So we have two local girls now on our roster, which is really special because anytime we have a meet and those team introductions happen and you hear those names, it's just the crowd goes crazy just because they're those Arkansas girls. So I love that.
Yeah, you said you had the number two class, and now they're all here as freshmen. Walk us through some of them and what they can bring. I know you're not ready to set lineups, but who do you think might be able to contribute this year?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, any of them at this point. You know, they're kind of, as the preseason sort of wraps up, we're starting to see sort of where they may contribute this year. I talked about Allison, you know, likely in the all-around from the get-go, which is incredible as a freshman. We've got a couple that are more specialists on bars and beam. One, her name is Avalon Campbell. She has, like, if those of you that know gymnastics know, Nastia Lukin is, she's known for her really beautiful lines and artistry. She has a Nastia-like quality on bars and beam, and so I'm excited to see her on those events. Same thing with, we have another freshman named Avery King who is looking really strong on bars and beam, and then someone like Riley, who I mentioned is our local girl, her strength is floor. So I would likely see her in on floor this season, and I'm still sort of figuring out kind of where they're going to fit into those lineups with, you know, needing to get them out there and getting them some competitive experience, but also, you know, I do anticipate we're going to rely on our athletes that have a lot of experience and we know can put up those big numbers. So it'll be fun for me to choose lineups this year because we do have a lot of newcomers and a lot of depth. So I'm excited. I look forward to choosing those lineups.
Around this time last year, I remember talking to you about how you guys had kind of declared that your theme of the season was going to be more because you had such a big season the year before and you wanted to kind of keep trying to elevate. Do you have a similar kind of theme idea for this season, or how are you kind of talking to them about what you guys want to achieve this year?
Yeah. We have been, there's a few things we've really focused in on. One is they set some pretty specific and defined values for the year that, you know, when they look back at the end of the year, no matter what we achieve, if they can look at those values and say, we lived these out to our best ability, we can feel successful. So those have been a really core piece. We've also talked about just a lot about our goals. This team wants to win a national championship. And whether we win it or not, one of the themes has been, you know, if we live like a champion and think like a champion and train like a champion, we'll have the opportunity to compete like a champion. And so just taking that concept of how do I do everything in my life like a champion would, with excellence as my intention, then you then get the opportunity to go out on the competition floor and compete like a champion. But if you don't live your life like one, you don't always get that opportunity. And so whether that be in the gym, how we do our warm-up, how we salute a routine, how we point our feet throughout our bar routine, how we go about our day-to-day schoolwork, and how we treat our space, things like that. How do we do it like a champion? That has been something that we really focused on this year, and I think it challenges all of us, coaches included, to go, what does the best version of myself look like on a daily basis? Because I think at the end of the year, we'll be really proud of what we accomplished if every single person can say they did that.
We'll wrap up with this. Last season, you coached all year while pregnant, and I remember seeing the video of you telling the team, you and Chris getting to tell the team that you guys were expecting, and it was so cute. It was so fun. You guys surprised them. What was last season like coaching with while being pregnant. And then now, what are you, how is this season going to go now that you've got the baby at home and you guys are both on staff?
Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring that out. you know, there may be some travel meets where she comes with us and some where she stays at home. Lucky for us, Chris is my husband's mom. She moved to Fayetteville and she is our full-time nanny. So we have lots of amazing help. So I'm really grateful for that. So she may come with us sometimes. She may stay back at home. I'm not really sure. I'm still figuring that out. But yes, it was hard to be pregnant all season. For those that saw me towards the end of the season, I was very swollen, but just tried to embrace the whole process. And, you know, thinking back on telling the team about it, they were just so excited because there were some athletes on our team that had been here with us from the beginning when we recruited them. And Chris and I were just dating. And then to when we got married, to then when we found out we were expecting our first baby, they've sort of lived that whole journey with us, which is really cool. So I feel blessed that my daughter has 20 amazing role models in our team that I can bring her around, and they're just going to love on her, and just it's going to be a fun time. So I feel very grateful for that.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jordan Weber, everybody.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed our Q&A with Jordan Weber today on the show. We'll be back with more of a traditional podcast tomorrow in studio as we preview Arkansas and LSU, the battle for the boot in Baton Rouge on Saturday morning. Hope to see you there or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everybody.